You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
And welcome into the Pomp and Joe Show on a Friday. Thank you very much, Mr. Austin Bechtold. I am not Pomp. I am not Joe. I am Jason Mackey, the substitute teacher, filling in. Great to talk to you. Great to be here. Going to be an awesome show. Thank you to Adam and Doran for that lead-in and a little bit of a laugh here. I enjoyed that. If you're just tuning in, Adam was going on and on about how you can't name your kid Theodore and expect him to grow up to be an athlete. I was getting some coffee in the break room here and heard that and didn't like Kool-Aid manning my way into the station uninvited or into the studio uninvited, but I did it anyway. I don't care. My son is named Theodore. All he wants to do is play sports, and darn it, he's 6 years old if he wants to grow up and think he can be a professional athlete. Crowley, you're not stopping him. Anyway, Off the Top's presented by JP Roofing and Siding, a rundown of what's happening on today's show. A lot of Pirates, a lot of Steelers. I don't know which order we'll go. Maybe we'll let Austin Bechtold decide. I want to talk about the Pirates' offensive futility. A lot of stuff going wrong there. The Pirates are in Philadelphia. They start a three-game series with the Phillies at Citizens Bank Park. It's not just that, though. We can look back at this season, what has gone wrong, the math, and what it would take to go right, flipping the switch to Donnie Kelly. Probably hasn't brought about the change the Pirates would like. I'm not sure if there was a managerial option available who would do that. But I want to look under the hood a little bit with what's going on with the Pirates offensively, where we go from here, what they could be facing with these Phillies. It's obviously not easy. The team across the state is very good. Also want to get into some Paul Skeens trade talk. That's been a storyline that has been discussed a lot. Jeff Passan is feeding that narrative. I know Jeff, we've been texting back and forth. I've been trying to get him on this show. He said June. So limits, circle that. We're gonna do something with Passan in June.
And Passan have a good personal relationship. Congratulations on all your success.
Thank you. I mean, I was a baseball writer for a while. I know a few baseball writers.
He's like the cream of the crop baseball insider, though, right now.
Yeah, he is. I mean, Jeff's awesome, dude. He's really, I mean, hey, Rosenthal's there, too.
Yeah.
How would you rank, what would you do top five baseball insiders?
Well, Rosenthal.
I've never even thought about this
Rosenthal
until right now.
Rosenthal doesn't break as much news as he used to because he's doing foul territory now and he's doing a lot more things for Fox. I think like less MLB Network insider work that he's been doing. I'd say Passan is probably one.
Yeah.
I'd still put Rosenthal right around two. Heyman's up there. Joel Sherman's up there.
Not a Heyman fan.
Heyman used to break a lot of news. It's a little bit less now.
I know.
Ever since Arson Judge was broken, he's been taking a little bit of a step back.
Where was that happened? I remember being there. I can't remember where it was. That's sad.
That he was going to sign with San Francisco.
I think it was the winter meetings, right?
It was like 12:07, right after midnight.
My man needs to get a little bit more sleep. Yeah. I've seen John Heyman in those settings. Passing is remarkably normal. And not that John isn't, but like when you're tweeting about Major League Baseball players at 3 a.m., I feel like we need to kind of reexamine some priorities there.
Kind of a problem. Unless you're Shams tweeting out the Luka trade. That was at like 12:30.
Well, if you've got that sort of stuff, tweet that out.
Yeah, but the Aaron Judge thing, I mean, that was huge.
Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge is going to sign in San Francisco, not go back to the Yankees. That scoop, that's major.
You got to wake up for that one. I'm trying to think who else, though. Buster Olney's up there for me. I'm a big Buster Olney guy.
Now, how important is breaking news to this and putting out a lot of information? Like, Olney, I feel like, also doesn't put out as much information.
Right. But he generally has some good, he can move a story forward, some good context to it. If we're talking about immediacy, I mean, Passan's the guy.
Yeah.
I need to ask Jeff, is it Passan or Passan? I always say Passan, and everybody else says Passan.
No, I always hear Passan.
I always hear Passan, too.
ESPN says Passan.
Okay. That's what I thought, but other people say, I've heard people say Passan.
And since that's his employer, I would hope that they'd be getting it right. It's not a Connor Sherry situation.
That is true. They did get his name wrong.
They did for years. Winning cups. What if they engraved his name differently on the cup? I know it's not, spelling's different, but could you imagine that?
That was so funny. And like Connor Sherry, God bless him, was like almost apologetic that was how you pronounce his name. Like, dude, that's your name. You can correct me. I'm getting your name wrong. But I want to delve into the Skeens trade talk because I think it's fascinating. And Austin and I think share an opinion on this. And speaking of Jeff Passan, he's been out there, was on the McAfee show, talking about how it would make sense for the Pirates to do this. I want to weigh whether that makes sense. If that makes sense, I'll just keep going down that road. No, I can see the argument for it. I just hate it. And so we'll kick that around a little bit. Steelers topics. I want to sort of wrap up the schedule talk and maybe say a few prayers that the schedule talk can go away for the weekend and we can just come back. But the Dan Orlovsky bit where he said they're going to be staring at 0-6, that's eating at me. I've got some thoughts on that. You may kind of guess how I feel about that. We'll see how Austin feels. I can't go there. I can't go there. It's sort of a bigger picture topic we will kick around. Mike Tomlin, the frustration, the lack of performance for the Steelers, what has gone wrong? Kind of curious to put a fingerprint on what exactly that is. Is it coaching? Is it style, game plan, getting with the times? Is it a message? Is it his ability to motivate guys? Or is it more of a CEO-ness that is a problem? I'd probably lean that direction, just to tease it a little bit, than it is X's and O's, that sort of thing. How he does his job, I know it sounds very fundamental, basic, how you draft player personnel decisions. Mike Tomlin's obviously involved. They haven't been good enough. Austin, what's your take? Why have the Steelers underachieved with Tomlin? And I mean, specifically with like Tomlin's traits.
Well, I think it's probably a factor of Tomlin has a lot to do with player personnel. I'm sure he has a lot to do with who's drafted, especially more so than in the Kevin Colbert era, because Colbert was there before Tomlin. So I think the players that he chooses to bring in, especially the wide receivers that Tomlin has chosen to bring in, and ultimately thinks he can fix that has not worked out, Pickens, Deontay, Claypool, the list goes on. That plus also I think, Tomlin is a master motivator. And once you get further on into the season, into unleashing hell in December, which they haven't been able to do in years, it becomes more so about the players. And the fact that Tomlin, along with the organization, has not been able to put together the players to go toe-to-toe with Baltimore getting 300 yards on them, or Kansas City, is also a big factor in that. And Tomlin, for a big reason, is culpable.
Yep. And he's culpable because of poor decisions made. I don't think it's a lack of motivation like you're talking about. I mean, you can say the message has gone stale, and this is a talking point because Ryan Clark, one of his former players, was on ESPN talking about it, saying, essentially that it's time for Mike Tomlin to move on, however you want to rephrase it. But I think the problems are bigger. They're different. The Steelers have underachieved because their rosters haven't been good enough. You're talking about the playoff loss to Baltimore. I mean, you're unable to stop the run. I'm not sure that was a Mike Tomlin getting him ready to play sort of issue. Now, once you get late in the game, you're getting demoralized, you're getting run over. That's a different decision. But the Steelers were not built in a way to physically or out-physical their division rival. That's a problem long before the motivational speech.
Well,
in my opinion,
that's why they went after Derek Harmon. That's why they boosted the defensive line with two guys there.
And you'd like to think that those work, but if they don't, is that out of character for what has happened recently?
No,
like
I mean,
that they've had too many of those flops.
Consider their first round picks since Ryan Shazier have been Bud Dupree. Okay,
I don't want to consider them.
Artie Burns is a bust. I mean, Devin Bush. I think Terrell Edmonds is a fine player, not a first-round pick.
Right.
Kenny Pickett, Najee didn't get a second contract. Other than T.J. Watt, it's a whole bunch of guys that were gone after 4 years, if not before.
You're exactly right. And that's more of a problem. And I don't know, maybe people listening don't really care where we're assigning blame, and that's fine. I get that. I just think it's interesting, you know, where the demise kind of comes from, or the lull, whatever you want to say. So we'll get into all that. Ray Fittipaldo is going to hop on at 11 o'clock, his usual time slot. Bob Walk, Pirates broadcaster, will be along at 1. Excited for that. Fan Twitter, it's brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan text line is brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. All right, let's kick around some baseball stuff. I need a break. This schedule talk, and it's been relentless NFL. We can hop back into the NFL with Ray at 11, but let's go into the Pirates offense and some of the futility that has happened here. It is staggering. They've played 20 games since April 23rd. They've failed to score more than 5 runs in any of them. Pretty wild, isn't it? 1908 was the previous time something that significant happened in Pirates history. That was Monday. The Pirates have lost 14 of those 16 games. They're hitting .222 in that time. It's been bad. And so I spent some time this morning kind of nerding out, thinking about the reasons for it. Try to explain it. What's going into this? What are contributing factors? Maybe there are some offshoots, some stuff that it is affected negatively. Storylines that we maybe want to talk about with this regime, etc. So I started making a list, and I came up with 20 things, 20 thoughts relative to this lack of offense, not being able to score more than 4 runs in a game, which is just completely baffling to me. So I'm going to go down this list, and it's not going to be particularly quick. I'll apologize ahead of time. Austin and I are going to take some breaks and kick around some of these. If we have any additional thoughts on them, we'll get through them at some point. Maybe we'll get them through them before Ray. I don't know. We'll see where this conversation goes. If you have any thoughts, feel free to chime in. Always welcome to hear your opinion, 412-928-9370. So the very first one, this is easy, and I laughed at myself writing it. They're not scoring enough runs. Yes, I know. That's obvious. But you set out to improve your offense. The offense was a big thing. It was a sticking point, an Achilles heel last year. And they averaged 4.1 runs per game. Any idea what they're averaging this year, Austin?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say 3.2.
You looked it up recently.
I actually did. Well, about a week ago I did, and it was 3.1.
All right, it's 3.1.
So I'm guessing it went up just a tad bit.
Yeah, so 3.1. They're averaging one fewer run per game a year after the offense was a very noticeable weak spot. You go into the offseason thinking, okay, we've got some pitching. Maybe we can fix the bullpen. There's this, that, and the other. But we have to fix the offense. It ain't fixed. It's still broken. Their total of 135 runs still last. They're hitting .220. They have a .629 OPS. Those respective numbers are 27th and 29th. I don't expect you to remember that. There's not a test at the end of this. Just know that they're scoring fewer runs than last year, and they're performing worse offensively than last year, which is sort of unfathomable. Point number two. Why? I can be a smart aleck and say, well, they're not hitting the ball hard. They're not hitting it to the right place, whatever. Situationally, it's probably a bigger issue. Look at their numbers when they have runners in scoring position. It is awful. Overall, .217, that's 27th. They've grounded into 16 double plays with runners in scoring position. That's the most in Major League Baseball. Overall, they lead Major League Baseball hitting into double plays. Number three, and I don't know if it's even worth expanding that. Like there are situations where they need to perform higher leverage situations with the bat, and the Pirates simply aren't doing that. And this is by no means, I'm moving on to number three, this is by no means the be-all, end-all, the biggest culprit, blame him, throw eggs at this guy. Absolutely not. He's in a slump. I get it. But Brian Reynolds has underperformed. Their number two hitter, their most consistent offensive player, somebody they expect a lot from, has not gotten it done. In May, 13 games, hitting .096, 14 strikeouts and 57 plate appearances, has two homers and six RBIs. You know the crazy thing about what Reynolds has done? Tweeted something out to this effect a little bit ago. Those six RBIs, I couldn't even believe this. I had to look at this a couple times to make sure I wasn't seeing things or my research wasn't flawed or something like that. Six RBIs in May. It's May 16th. That's a low total for one of the best hitters on your team, theoretically. You know, him or Cruz going into the season. That's two times more than anybody else this month. And he's hitting .096. I can't believe that number exists, but it does.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Moving along, and Manuel Valdez, he has a negative 0.6 wins above replacement, according to Baseball Reference, in two seasons with the Red Sox. And he's hitting cleanup in Pittsburgh at a position he's never played. Now, he's got a shoulder injury. I'm not trying to harp on somebody who's out of the lineup, and we all hope he gets healthy. Why he's playing first base and batting cleanup here, now, is something I do not understand. And I understand that Spencer Horwitz was their offseason addition, whatever, leave that topic for later in the list because we'll get to it. I understand he was supposed to play there, but that's the best organizational depth available. And Manuel Valdez, a light-hitting utility option, added in a DFA scrap heap dumpster dive kind of transaction over the winter, a negative WAR player. He's the best improvement. He's going to hit cleanup and play first base at the most glaring position of need. As you can kind of guess, hasn't gone all that well. Alexander Canario, number five. He's been better lately. He's hit .314 in 10 May games, so I want to give him credit for the improvement. But why is he here? I don't know if that's the right way to put it. I don't understand why he's getting the reps that he's getting or that those reps are even available in the first place. If you think about an extended rebuild, prospects the Pirates have had, they've grown, they've tried to develop, they've used draft picks on, they've signed, they've traded for, all that stuff. Those opportunities should not be available to somebody that you add in late March, early April, because another team designated him for assignment. That person should be squeezed out of a job. Your outfield should be set at that point. You shouldn't be counting on that guy for big things. Yet the Pirates have. I don't understand it. All right, injuries. Said I was going to talk about Spencer Horwitz. Obviously, that has been one. I do expect him to return today in Philadelphia. I think today is number 20 on the list of rehab days that you're allowed on a rehab assignment. I'm not sure if he could get there, or I should say, I'm not sure if he could stay in Indianapolis one more day or get to Philadelphia, but a lot of times you see guys start with the team for the start of a series, pre-series meetings, all that stuff makes sense to have him there. Fully expect him to be in Philadelphia. Nick Gonzalez was rehabbing in AAA. He'll get there eventually. That should help some. Andy Rodriguez also rehabbing. The Pirates have cited injuries as a reason for the poor performance or a reason for the struggles. I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think it's kind of a cop-out. I don't like it. And also, when you think about who they're bringing back, it's a lot to ask of those guys. Spencer Horwitz is a 1.5 WAR player in his career, 112 major league games, has a grand total of 13 home runs. Nick Gonzalez, 0.8 B-WAR, 130 games over 3 years, 10 home runs. These are the guys who are going to save this thing? I mean, it'll be good to have them back, don't get me wrong. The Pirates shouldn't have added Adam Frazier and played him every day. The only reason you add Adam Frazier in the offseason is he's sort of a veteran presence, 26th man. He's been a regular in the lineup, which speaks to how diluted or ineffective the lineup has been. But acting like the cavalry's coming because Spencer Horwitz and Nick Gonzalez are nearly healthy might be a bit misplaced. You might be asking a little bit too much of those guys. Same thing for Endy. I like Endy. Incredibly nice kid. Actually, a pretty good defensive catcher. Maybe it helps. Maybe it allows you to do something else with Henry Davis. Get there in a second. I do think Endy is capable of catching Paul Skeens. I know Joey Bart is not. Any which way, Endy's a negative WAR player in his career too. 72 games. A grand total of 3 home runs and an OPS under 600. I mean, I'll take a look, but I'm not going to ask like everything's suddenly going to change just because Endy's back. All right, I'm going to move on. I'm going to get to 10, and then we'll hit a break. But another thing, I mentioned Henry, and he's not alone in this, but important development, important internal improvement that Ben Cherington has talked about previously that the Pirates have been banking on simply has not happened. It's evident with Henry Davis. It's evident with Jack Sawinski. Guys that looked really good in spring. I talked to both of them when I was down there. There was a lot of hope. Use the term of like, you know, untangling a knot. Those guys were really wrapped up last year. It's right back to where they were. Henry hitting 135. Jack hitting 128. OPS no higher than 436 for either one of them. Completely unacceptable for major league time. Jackson AAA, I have a feeling Henry will probably be there unless he starts hitting soon. You're looking at Henry Davis as a 1-1 pick. Completely valid at this point to worry about it being a bust. Not good. And these are guys that the Pirates were banking on turning it around. I would imagine that thought, that belief informed their other opinions in only adding Spencer Horwitz this offseason. I'm not defending it. I'm not agreeing with it. But if you think like the Pirates, if you try to crawl inside Ben Cherington's head, don't you think, okay, well, if we can get through to Henry Davis, if we can get through to Jack Sawinski, we can maybe avoid spending premium money. Or maybe he doesn't have the money to spend. I don't know. But you're counting on those guys turning it around, and they have not. Number 8, if they would have signed somebody, I'm not sure it would have worked out terribly well. Tommy Pham was the biggest offseason addition. You know that for a little over $4 million. He's played 34 games, hit 176, a 475 OPS. With a little bit of improved defense, a net 0 WAR. It's been the latest in a succession of offseason offensive adds that have not been good. Tommy Pham, Michael A. Taylor, Yasmani Grandal, Rowdy Tellez, Yoshi Setsugo. Those over the past handful of years are the names that I circle when I think about guys who were added via free agency that there was really a lot expected from, needed from, they filled a need, whatever. The Pirates on those five players spent $18 million, really $17,725,000. We're rounding up. Guess their negative war. Again, according to Baseball Reference, minus 0.4. So the Pirates, with those five players, forget exactly when Yoshi was here. It was either 21 or 22. Either way, it doesn't matter. The past handful of years, the Pirates, when looking to improve their offense externally, spent $18 million to make their team nearly half a win worse. Now, I'll give them credit. Carlos Santana was an excellent addition. He's the counterpoint. 1.5 war, according to Baseball Reference, a little under $7 million for his salary. Wish they wouldn't have traded him. Wish they would have brought him back, but they did bring him in. He's been good. And you can't really argue with the Andrew McCutchen contracts. He's been productive, whatever, at least relatively speaking, at least compared to what we're talking about here, a lot of these external ads that have just been flops. And Tommy Pham has not been good enough. Other prospects not panning out. This is number 9. Leover Peguero got a cup of coffee. I'm not sure he's ticketed for a long-term stay. G1 Bay has done a little bit more lately. Donnie Kelly talked in the last series about emphasizing him playing some small ball, went and got a couple balls in center field. Okay, cool. Is anybody feeling like G1 Bay has staying power? I'm not. Jared Triolo won a gold glove, can play a bunch of different positions. Cool. We still have no evidence that he can add much offense. Did like the homer recently. But again, not exactly penciling Jared Triolo into a regular heart of the order kind of spot. Now, tangentially, it would make me think about a Ke'Bryan Hayes trade. If somebody called up asking about Hayes, if you could unload that contract at the deadline or anywhere near then, I would do it. I don't think there's that much of a drop-off between Triolo and Hayes. But again, we're talking about young guys who have not been able to translate their development to the major league level, and it's been a gigantic contributing factor to the lack of offense. And the 10th one is just a number that blows my mind. They've played 44 games. They've been shut out 7 times. 16% of the time the Pirates have taken the field this season, they have not scored a run. That's mind-blowing.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic salad kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America. Yeah.